is a Fox News alert. I'm Kathleen Maloney. The results of election 2016 are taking shape. We go to Lisa Brady live at the Fox News decision desk.
Kathleen, one of the battlegrounds is just in. Fox News can now project that Hillary Clinton will win the state of Virginia, where her running mate Tim Kaine currently serves as U.S. Senator. Overall, though, Donald Trump is still leading with 17 states won, plus most of Nebraska's electoral votes so far. That's one of only two states that can split them. The latest for Trump includes Montana, Arkansas, and Louisiana. For Clinton, 12 states overall. Besides Virginia, her latest include Connecticut and New Mexico. In a key Senate race, the Fox News decision desk now projects Republican Senator Johnny Isaacson of Georgia defeating Democratic challenger Jim Barksdale. According to exit polls and partial vote returns, Isaacson will get over 50% of the vote. That means no runoff needed in the Georgia Senate race. Kathleen.
Thanks, Lisa. The presidential race is still too close to call in Florida. Fox's Eben Brown joins us live in Miami.
Yeah, Kathleen, some counties here in Florida have been straggling with reporting their ballots, though no officials have said anything about irregularities or problems. The overall margin between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton here remains razor thin, and Florida will award 29 electoral votes to the winner. But Florida is also where the GOP is celebrating retaining a spot in the U.S. Senate. Marco Rubio wins re-election after originally not planning to run again following his defeat in the presidential primaries, Kathleen.
Thanks, Eben. No presidential results for Ohio yet, but Fox News projects Republican Senator Rob Portman has won another term, along with Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul. Fox also projecting Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut will win a second term, and Republican Eric Holcomb will succeed vice presidential candidate Mike Pence in Indiana. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
You are listening to election coverage with Justice and Drew on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
Far back. Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. I am Drew. That over there is John Justice. To my right is the lovely and talented Samantha Sansevier sitting right across from me. So I can stare deeply into his eyes is the sultry, smooth sounds of the newly reelected Nick Zerwas, everybody.
Congratulations,
nicely
Nick
done.
Zerwas.
Yeah, sir.
Thank you very much, gentlemen, and the lovely Samantha.
Thank you.
How's it going tonight?
We're having a blast, man.
This is, if depending on how this whole thing ends up shaking out, Nick, the map's changing. And map's changing in ways that that people were saying early in the afternoon that there was a potential of this happening. The map appears to be changing, which really points to the fact that the polls, once again, were really, really wrong and discounted large segments of America in collecting their data.
And John, I think you're onto something. The number of people out of Sherburne County, Big Lake, Elk River, that got a hold of me today to say that they had voted for the first time since they voted to elect Jesse Ventura governor. That's what I kept hearing over and over again. And that is a crowd that would not be counted as a likely voter in all of the mainstream media's polling activities.
You know, when you watch this kind of unfold today, you don't know if it's real or if it's just enthusiasm. We got call after call this morning from listeners talking about how packed their polling places were and how, you know, it's unlike anything that they've experienced before in previous elections. I went in the afternoon and it calmed down quite a bit, but even the people there were saying, no, I mean, this morning it was packed. We never had lines like this. It didn't happen in the primary, didn't happen in the last election. And all day long I'm wondering, you know, well, is this going to bear out in the numbers? What we're seeing is they're anticipating perhaps north, not by much, but north of 140 million people voting across the country today, which is on par with something that we haven't seen since going back to Reagan. And the fact that the late voters, the evening voters, are the ones that potentially could have decided and can decide this whole thing tonight.
And that's what it's all about. It's capitalizing on people that aren't going to be swayed by early release of exit polls or all this information where they tell you your candidate can't win. Don't even bother waiting in line.
Yeah.
Stay at home.
I got a question. Do you think, and you know, if things continue the way they are, do you think the confidence of many Hillary Clinton supporters that, oh, the country could never elect this guy, this guy's so boorish, this guy's so crude, the things he says are so out of bounds, this is going to be a blowout. Do you think that might have suppressed a significant portion of turnout?
I would challenge that it is apathy, but not because they think they had it in the bag, but because she is not a compelling candidate. Now, this is by far over or a done deal or anything of the such, but I think the fact that this is going to be a razor thin margin if she hangs on shows.
One of my favorite political reporters, Jamie Dupree, works out of a WSB in Atlanta. He just tweeted, even if Trump loses Virginia, which they have called Virginia for Hillary Clinton, which was supposed to be a slam dunk state. Even if Trump loses Virginia, he still has plenty of targets to get to 270, more maybe than Clinton. Now, I'm gonna bring in Mike and Brian at our Minnesota desk in our St. Louis Park studios. Cool. The margin by which Hillary Clinton is currently winning in Virginia, that in your opinion, does that speak to her overall performance that we've seen so far tonight, which is far below expectations?
Oh, I think absolutely. I mean, and actually what I was just thinking about was the vaunted Democratic turnout machine, you know, that was supposed to be, and as Nick points out, could still be the difference. I mean, at this point, if it's a razor-thin race, the vaunted turnout machine could absolutely provide the margin in all of these states. But I think that she is an underperforming candidate. She is absolutely not living up to the expectations that she had for herself this morning, let alone 6 months ago.
Well, let me jump in here for just a second, okay? I want to add something to this conversation. So as it stands right now, it's looking likely, I'm just going to say likely, okay, that Trump gets Florida, North Carolina, and Ohio. Recent polling information just came out, and it's showing Wisconsin now, Clinton 45 and Trump at 50. Now, we don't know how much of the vote has come back on that yet, but again, looking at the changing of the map, you know, this is that unpredictable factor of this whole election. And I didn't even really hear anybody talking about the changing of the map up until today, unless I just wasn't listening.
Something to that, John, because in Wisconsin and in Ohio and in Michigan, what you have there are strong Republican parties.
And he's still up in Michigan, too.
And I think when you hear about, and this is, you know, John recently came from an Arizona perspective. But we here in Minnesota are not used to, at least in recent memory, having the Republican Party machinery being sort of superior to that of the Democrats. But that actually is the case in Wisconsin and Michigan and Ohio. So we see these races tightening. You can actually rely on the fact that the Republicans turned out every vote they could for their team, for their candidates. I know that's the case in Michigan, where they have a Republican governor, Republican House, Republican Senate. I know that's the case in Wisconsin, where it's the same, you know, and Ohio, where they basically own the levers of government. That wasn't built by accident. That was built by a strong party where everybody's pulling the same direction.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and I think one thing that, speaking of underperforming, one question that hasn't really been asked is, you know, why is it that 31% of the people in House District 30A thoroughly reject the candidacy of Nick Czerwas?
That is too soon.
Too soon.
That is too soon.
He takes that 50% plus one very seriously.
Yeah. But speaking about 50% plus one, we have to look at these states that Hillary, like Virginia, where Hillary was supposed to win by a wider margin, she still won. So I think that in order for us to kind of like really celebrate Hillary underperforming, Wisconsin or Michigan or one of these other states that she's underperforming in has to flip red.
Right.
Until that, you know, if she wins,
nobody has talked about. Nobody has talked about blue states flipping red. It's all a bit about, you know, can Trump flip any blue states Blue states red. I'm looking at a million different things.
Nick, you wanted to add to this?
Well, what's interesting is the numbers we're seeing bears out to what some of the early anecdotal comments that we picked up on early in the day about the suburbs in and around Detroit really showing out strong and coming out to vote. I think there's really this idea that Trump was able to tap in to this blue collar, usually traditional Democrat vote and turning that out.
Let me add to that, actually, Nick. I'm trying to glean whatever we can from Minnesota results. They're trickling in.
Moving really slowly.
We've mentioned Senator Hahn, and things look very tough for him in Senate District 48, which is a suburban district where, as Brian points out, Hillary's doing very well. Now, this is the definition of drawing conclusions from way too small sample size, but it's fascinating nonetheless. One of the districts in greater Minnesota that we'll all be watching tonight in Minnesota is Senate District 24, which is currently held by a Democrat, Vicki Jensen.
Down in the Faribault area.
Faribault and Owatonna area. There are eight precincts in, mostly from the townships. I picked the biggest number and just compared it to 2012 to see how they compare. Right now, the Republican challenger, John Jasinski, is winning 278 to 147, or approximately two-thirds to one-third. That is a mirror image of 4 years ago where the Democrat won two-thirds of the vote from that township. And again, it's one township, but I'm looking at the rest of them. They all appear to be doing the same thing. So this is the rural, the most rural places are going strongly for the Republicans.
And remember that the candidates matter too in that particular area. Jasinski is the mayor of Faribault, and he's up against Vicki Jensen, who is pretty much known as a pretty moderate Democrat. But they found a great candidate to go up against her, and that was one of the pickups that I predicted for the Senate.
I do have some breaking news. I need to confirm this, and this is actual breaking news. Do you remember the candidate in Blaine, Nolan West?
Yes. We're familiar with his work.
I'm getting multiple texts and reports that he has won.
Wow.
Nick's got a look on his face right now that I wish I had a camera.
I need to confirm that. I need to confirm that, Nick.
Yeah.
But I'm getting multiple reports, including from some Blaine residents who are pretty adept at politics.
Yeah.
I'm kind of hoping he doesn't listen to podcasts.
Ron Johnson, our adopted senator from Wisconsin. Milwaukee County is mostly in, apparently, in Wisconsin. So that's the more, that's sort of the liberal stronghold there. Milwaukee County, Ron Johnson up 7. He might pull off the upset, and he surged late in his race against Russ Feingold there, so he may get a Republican hold in that Senate seat in Wisconsin.
Hey, guys, from just a personal, from my own personal edification, because I live in Blaine, can you give me some background on Nolan West?
Yeah, it is confirmed, guys. Nolan West has won. The Secretary of State's office has 100% of precincts reporting, 15 of 15. Nolan West has won by 170 votes, approximately. Nolan West was the candidate it was unearthed that he had a variety of very, very touchy and outright indefensible tweets from his past, very strangely had not been scrubbed from his Facebook page.
Now, Mike,
Representative-elect West.
Mike, you're not being fair. It's not just his tweets. It was Facebook, too.
It was Facebook, too. Regardless, he has pulled it off, and he is now Representative-elect West.
But didn't he back out of that race?
He did not. Who was supporting him withdrew their support, and it seems to have not made a difference.
He held strong.
Wow.
One thing to look at is that. I mentioned earlier what a narrow path to the speakership Minority Leader Thiessen had with the Democrats. If he doesn't win Nolan West, I don't know that I can see what the DFL path would be to the majority. That was definitely one that I had in the DFL pickup column.
What does that say about the mood of Minnesotans heading to the ballot?
I'm gonna say that is something that might be coattails for Trump.
What about the state senate?
Well, let me burst your bubble. I just thought that same thing. I looked at the state Senate in that District 37 where I definitely had Nolan West down as a loss. The Senate candidate there appears to be trailing by over 1,000 votes with only two precincts to go. So that one looks over.
Nate Silver was just on ABC News, everybody. Nate Silver of 538, sort of the guru of polling, the guru of the Electoral College. Everybody turns to him. Just said on ABC News, Hillary Clinton is in, quote, profound trouble in the Electoral College.
It's very true.
Profound trouble.
And
her path is getting narrower and narrower. Let me give you a quick Florida update. Real Clear Politics is saying 99% are in, and Trump holding strong, 49.2, 47.7, 63% in Ohio, Trump 53,
wow.
Clinton 42.
Wow.
She's getting crushed.
Oh my God.
Wow.
71% in North Carolina, Trump 50.5, what? Clinton 46.9.
This is unbelievable.
Hey, Nick, I have a question. Is crow delicious?
What's the best way to prepare it?
Yeah. I think suggested A1
no, and I...
80% is chance of winning the presidency for Donald Trump
right now. David,
wow.
So if David Belford is listening...
David.
Hey, guys. Hey, you know what, David? I was the only one who was... Me and John were the only ones with you, okay?
Yeah.
I just want to point
right?
that out.
All
landslide.
Right. Look. I want to go around the group real quick and just your real quick
this
assessment.
I am stunned.
And let's go to the Minnesota desk first. And first, Brian, we'll go to you, and then we'll go to Mike and Drew and Nick. Here's the question I have for you guys. All right, if Trump pulls this off tonight, and I just want your quick instinctive reaction to this question. What does it mean? Just your quick reaction for the future of the GOP. If he ends up winning this thing tonight, your quick reaction to that, then we'll go with you, Brian, first.
Well, the quick reaction is that I think it's a Hillary protest vote, and that what it means for the GOP is something that, is a story that's going to unfold over the next 4 years.
Yeah.
And that it is something that he could, you know, he could change everything, or he could flush it down the toilet. But we have to start listening to him probably a little bit more than we have been.
Mike? Yeah, I think the same thing, although I'm a little concerned that you asked for initial reactions. I don't want us to draw the wrong conclusions from this. Now we have to see the final results, but it looks like the demographics are still trending in the direction of America is getting to be a more colorful place. We're 70% whites this election. It was down 2% from 4 years ago, down 2% from 4 years ago. I think we still, regardless whether Trump wins or not, we need to spend the next 2 years, particularly Minnesota, but nationally, reaching out to people of color, reaching out to people who may not be, consider themselves Republicans today. Politics is still a game of addition, and whatever happened tonight, I think that I hope we draw the right lessons and still continue down the path of diversifying our party.
Drew, I think a lot of it, I'm gonna sort of piggyback off what Brian said, because it's going to be, that book is going to be written based on how he governs and how he performs as president and how he interacts with what you have to assume will be a Republican Congress if Trump's going to do this well. And as he's been doing so far, you got to assume the coattails are there. So the governing is going to be a big part of it. But it's definitely, this is not the same party from 4 years ago. This is not the same party from 8 years ago. This is a party that clearly is embracing, for lack of a better term, the more bold rhetoric, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, and this is not a party that's going to be timid. You're going to have a very empowered group of people that want decisive governance.
So I think that's great. That part is great. And if we can cling to that and emphasize that, there's a lot that Trump's running on that Republicans have been frustrated for 20 years that we couldn't get done, including periods where we've held the presidency in both bodies.
If he can't get those things done as president, and that is a big question mark, if he doesn't tackle the immigration problem with some serious reforms, and I'm not even talking about the wall, I'm talking about serious immigration reform, which has been a key part of his platform. If he doesn't, hashtag drain the swamp the way he's been promising to do, that is going to be very bad for the GOP in 4 years.
Oh, yes.
Well, I think,
2 years, you're right.
I,
years.
Look, I think the GOP has got to dig deep and figure out what was it specific, what were the specific things that drew out these surge of voters to go and support this, let's be honest, toxic candidate. And I think it's clear that the GOP voters are looking for some real leadership, and they haven't been seeing it, and they may have made their voices heard loud and clear tonight. And I think, again, when you talk about the establishment, you know, you got to talk about the fact that people were sick and tired of it, and that the ground is changing.
Breaking
as it
news.
Relates to
Breaking
the GOP.
Ohio just went Trump.
Ohio's been called.
It's been opposite of that.
Breaking news.
Actually, you know what's interesting here? I'm looking at...
NBC News just called Ohio for Trump.
I've been following NBC. Thank you for mentioning NBC News. I figured I'd get my news tonight from the most fair and balanced source. They still have not called Virginia for Hillary.
Right,
now,
well,
I don't want to...
NBC News, then.
I don't want to read too much... I think that's a good thing. I don't want to read too much into it, but they still have Virginia as a sort of a gray state. So, whereas the other news outlets, I understand, have called Virginia for Hillary.
Well, I'm still looking at following Real Clear Politics. 64% in Ohio. Real Clear Politics just turned Ohio red. They just turned Ohio red with 64% in, Trump 53, Clinton 42. Real Clear Politics just called Ohio for Trump.
And the other one we've been keeping an eye on too, and then we'll go to you, Nick, is I'm still curious about Colorado. I know it's been leaning Hillary. It's 49-43 Trump, but you've got only about half of the vote count in Colorado. And again, the trend line that we've been seeing is Trump picking up momentum throughout the night as the votes have been coming in. So I think Colorado could potentially still be in play. Nick, you wanted to add to the conversation.
Well, and I think what we've seen is when we look at what would a Trump presidency mean, and I said this a few months back, guys, the reality is there is a real high possibility of finally a Congress that would be willing to reassert itself as a co-equal branch of government, in that Congress has as much of a role to play in governing our country as the administrative branch does. And I think they are more likely, a Republican Congress even, to hold a President Trump accountable to his enumerated powers than they would even Hillary Clinton.
Nick, from
frankly.
Your sultry lips to Paul Ryan's ears.
Yeah. Well, and we saw that in Minnesota when Jesse Ventura was governor.
Yeah, that's my exact point.
Yeah, I was staff at that time, and the Senate was controlled by the Democrats, and the House was controlled by the Republicans, and they were definitely driving the car, the House and the Senate. And that's not normally how things go with Governor Dayton nor with Governor Plenty. So, yeah, a Trump presidency certainly gives the opportunity to Paul Ryan and hopefully a GOP Senate to assert themselves and not just do whatever Donald Trump's positions are, because they are what they are and obviously they're resonating, but to look downward, to look back and see what the people, their constituents, are asking for, which is largely fiscal, and to kind of get, and because I teach American government at Concordia, and I have 18-year-old kids asking me about the debt. It's something that people know about much more than you'd think, and it's something that needs to be addressed by this Congress.
Now, you're hearing the crowd in the background right now. They are just seeing on the TVs here that Ohio has been called. They're watching the Fox News telecast.
Well, I think they should be listening to Twin Cities News Talk, Andrew.
They should be listening to Twin Cities News Talk. So that's what you're hearing in the background. Mike and Brian, I want you guys to take a couple minutes, look over the Minnesota updates, see if you've got any information for us. I got to imagine, John, that they're going to call Florida here soon.
Yeah.
They've been sitting at 99% for a while, and Trump's got a fairly solid 2-point lead, just shy of a full 2-point lead over
Hillary Clinton. Well, Florida and North Carolina.
North Carolina, I was just going to raise that point.
Both of those, I mean, they've been sitting on them for a for a long, long time. I want to make a... There's a point that I want to bring up here because we've been talking about the right. We need to talk about the left at some point. But before we do that, let's go and 651-989-5855. We will talk to Chris, who's been holding on for a while. Chris, thank you so much for joining us this evening, and thank you so much for holding. We really do appreciate it. What's your thoughts about what's been taking place this evening?
Hey, first off, I want to say congratulations to Nick Zerwas.
Hey, thank you very much.
Yeah, love having you on the show. And I noticed over in Wisconsin here, Ron Johnson's doing fairly well. He's up 7 points.
Yes.
But the point I wanted to bring up was I've been watching the AP election coverage, and they have the popular vote for Trump at 1.3 million over Hillary.
Okay.
And I think that that's an interesting thing because, you know, you always hear everyone say, oh, well, what about the popular vote? Well, you know, if you called that, you might have been, you know, eating your own words, you know, for all the people that wanted the popular vote. And hopefully Jason Lewis does well tonight.
Yeah, I haven't, you know, Mike and Brian, do you guys have an update on what things have, how things have been shaking out with Jason Lewis?
Yeah, well, the congressional races, you know, there's some of them, like the third with Eric Paulson, where he looks good. There's a fair amount of districts reporting there. Looks like Tom Emmer with a fair amount of districts is doing well there. The Jason Lewis is up by a couple percent. I think he's up 2%, but that is with very little data in.
Are they hand delivering those ballots?
Well,
horse,
you know,
horse.
I think
horseback.
I think that,
Pony,
you know,
Express.
Pony Express.
Yeah.
Hey, Sam, stay away from the ponies.
You know, it's actually not funny, you guys, because the Democrats are emailing theirs in, and a bunch of them were lost. About 33,000.
Wow. Nailed it.
And
nailed
I also want to throw a quick congratulations to Nick Zerwas because you're going to get a pay raise.
Yes, you are.
The constitutional amendment.
Oh,
is,
lucky you!
Is cleaning up.
Did that flip and pass?
Yeah, it's what are we at? We're at we're less than 20% precincts reporting, but the yeses are just cleaning up.
But I mean, the way that this was worded on the ballot is kind of confusing.
Well,
I mean, especially for somebody who doesn't understand.
Listen, breaking news. This just in. It was a dang scam.
Yeah.
Democrats passed. Yeah. A scam out of the House to trick Minnesota voters into giving them a pay raise.
Yeah, because reading it, like when I was voting, I was confused.
Well, can I remind Nick that there's nothing in Minnesota law that prevents him from buying things for lobbyists?
All right, we've got Mike and Ryan. They are back at the TCNT studios. They are manning the Minnesota desk. 651-989-5855. We're Justice and Drew. Sam is here with us. Well, Nick Zerwas is here. Thank you for being here on this historic evening as we continue to bring you the election results, more of your phone calls, more of commentary, and more election returns coming up on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Lisa LaSera. A major race call in a crucial battleground state. Fox News now projects that Donald Trump will win the bellwether state of Ohio. Once again, a major race call in a crucial battleground state. Fox News now projects that Donald Trump will win the bellwether state of Ohio. And the Fox News Decision Desk now projecting that Republicans will retain control of the House of Representatives next year, despite losing some seats in today's election. Republicans currently enjoy a 59-seat advantage over Democrats in the House, which means the Democrats would have had to net 30 victories to take control of the chamber. Instead, it looks like Democrats will pick up between 10 and 20 seats, falling short of majority control. Once again, the Fox News Decision Desk now projects that Republicans will retain control of the House. This is a Fox News alert.
You are listening to election coverage with Justice and Drew on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. On this historic election night, we are Justice and Drew. I am John Justice. That man is Drew. Sam is to Drew's right. Back
Hello.
At the Minnesota desk. at the TCNT studios. We're very thankful to have Mike and Brian. We need to give you some updated election returns. It's been called that Trump has won Florida.
That's on Drudge.
On Drudge.
Real Clear Politics has not called that yet.
And Fox also has not called that.
Drudge is also calling. We called Ohio. Drudge Report is also calling wins for Donald Trump, also in North Carolina.
Wow. Wow.
You still have Trump up in Michigan. You still have him up in North Carolina. The takeaway currently is that the pathway for Hillary Clinton is the one that is shrinking, and it's shrinking
rapidly.
Quickly. Now, we're going to be on for as long as we need to be on tonight. We have some Minnesota results to get to you in just a moment. And don't forget, tomorrow morning, right at 6 a.m., your reaction, your phone calls over tonight's historic and just incredible evening. This is my third election cycle that I've covered, and this by far has been the most fascinating one that I have been through so far. It's been absolutely incredible.
I'll tell you what, since this is my first, this is like the first election that I've
all downhill
been
for you.
Yeah, you're ruined from here,
yeah.
Sam.
Yeah.
I mean, is it always as exciting?
It's like going to Vegas, hitting the jackpot, and then going
thinking
I'll just win every time I go.
Yeah, isn't it always this amazing and just crazy and nail biting?
Well, all we had to say this whole time was hashtag landslide. Who knew?
Landslide.
Who knew?
Right.
Well,
and
everybody, breaking news: Latinos in the Southwest have started building a wall to keep the rest of America away from them.
This is I've been tracking. So the way we divided our labor here at the Minnesota desk was I'm tracking the Senate and Brian is tracking the House. It does appear that the Senate is, in general, now there's so much that's yet to come in, but that the greater Minnesota seats are way overperforming the Republicans. That is way overperforming in the early precincts from compared to 4 years ago. And so if that holds, I think you'll see the Senate picking up. The Senate Republicans picking up seats and getting closer to that magic number of 34. Now, I think it is official that they have lost the seat that's currently held by the minority leader, David Hand. So there will be a new leader of the Republicans in the Senate. It looks tough in the one other seat that's currently held, that's in the St. Cloud area, although that one's far from over. But there is still a path to a Senate majority in Minnesota.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as Mike said, I've been following the House, and a lot of the races that I have flagged and that others have flagged as being the most up for grabs, the numbers are dribbling in. And if I could send a message to my peeps down in Dakota County, hurry up, because pretty much nothing is in from Dakota County, and there are lots of races there that that are in play.
Yeah, we have radio to do tonight, so if you guys could get on that, that'd be just peachy.
Yeah, that would be super.
Yeah, we'd really appreciate that. I believe we have Representative Matt Dean on the line. Is he still holding with us?
Yep, glad to be with you.
Matt Dean, give us your take on what we're seeing so far tonight.
Well, I think what we've seen in Minnesota tracks somewhat what we're seeing nationally, that the Trump effect is actually real, and it's not just segregated to outposts of greater, greater, greater Minnesota, but it is a pretty pervasive thing that it's real, and it's obviously something that's happening across the country. I think in Minnesota we've got a lot of races that are probably going to be coming down very tight, and you might have to hang in there a while to see where they're at, and who knows where we're going to be winding up. But I think the Senate is the Minnesota Senate is going to be picking up seats in greater Minnesota. Many of the seats that we picked up in the House last time they're now gaining ground. I think you're going to see that continue on this evening. So the Minnesota Senate is definitely heading in the right direction statewide. And obviously...
Matt Dean, can I interrupt for a second? Tom Emmer is about to speak here. Let's go ahead and carry Tom Emmer's speech. And Matt Dean, hang tight. We'll come back to you.
All right, we're going to get started. We got to get moving. So she's upstairs, really? All right, so, hey, if the Cubs can win a World Series in 108 years, Minnesota can turn red for a night for the presidential race, eh? First, I got to do the thank yous. I want to thank the Republican Party. I want to thank my family, probably, first and foremost. I want to thank all of you. Thanks for all the support. We're happy to have an opportunity to return and continue what we started. But here's the great news. They said, the prognosticators, the political geniuses, said this would be over by now. It's not over by now. We're winning. We got a long night that's coming. We have a long night. Obviously, the East Coast is not what the political prognosticators have been predicting. I mean, Trump looks like he's won Florida, even though they won't call it, right? And yes, he's won Ohio, and he's won Indiana, and he's won Kentucky, and he's won Missouri, and he's won it's... Boy, what did he say before? We're going to win so much? Can't remember what it was. Let's not call it yet. There's a long way to go, and there's a lot of fight left. But here's what we're watching. We're going to hold the Minnesota House of Representatives tonight, folks. That's right. Speaker Doubt and his team are going to hold on, and we are looking at the Minnesota Senate because we are hoping to have a majority by morning in the Minnesota Senate. But here's the really big news. I came over here, and guess what? Stuart Mills is winning in the 8th District in Minnesota. Yeah, but we're not done. We're not done. Jason Lewis is winning in the 2nd District in Minnesota. Right here in this district. Yeah, but we're not done. Jim Hagedorn is winning in the 1st District in Minnesota. Oh, yeah, and by the way, there's a guy named Greg Ryan who right now is winning in the 4th District in Minnesota.
Wow. Wow.
Can miracles happen? You got to believe. Thank you to everybody in this room for all your hard work and for believing when they told us that it couldn't be done. We got a long night. This is far from being over, and we're going to win some and we're going to lose some. But it begins tomorrow, by the way. When we get up tomorrow morning, the sun will come up, and we will all move forward. And as I said to somebody today who said, hey, Mr. Emmer, how's it going? I said, it's great. Tomorrow we're all friends again. Right? We're going to move forward. Let's take this country in the right direction. We got a long night. Let's win. Thanks, guys.
All right, that was Tom Emmer addressing the a very happy crowd.
Well, and
here
and
at
it,
the...
If I can just interject, I apologize for talking over you. The most important thing that he said was highlighting that the Chicago Cubs won the World Series this year.
Oh, you know what?
I hadn't heard that.
I think it's time for you to call it a night.
Nope. Go Cubs, go.
Can I just observe Congressman Emmer from 6 years ago, being a sort of an underperforming candidate for governor to what I just heard right now, he might be the most important Republican in the state of Minnesota. I mean, he's just really become a rock star. I'm so impressed by him.
Do we still have Representative Matt Dean on the line?
I'm revved up after Tom's speech.
We love you too, Matt, but wasn't Tom just amazing?
I got to say, Tom Emmer fired up the crowd at the Trump rally over the weekend as well. He got that crowd absolutely fired up. He's really, North Carolina is called
for
Trump.
Wow.
As you can tell by the background noise, North Carolina been called for Donald Trump.
Let me say, too, that was one of the ones that wasn't even marked on Drudge to go soon. So you add that to Ohio, North Carolina, and Florida.
Guys.
And again, the pathway, the door is closing.
This is this is kind of happening, isn't it?
I told you.
Matt Dean, you've been very patient with us. Your thoughts on the on holding the Minnesota House, your thoughts quickly on how you're liking the GOP's chances in the Senate.
Well, I think the Senate's going to pick up a lot of the areas that we picked up in 2014, they are making a tremendous headway. And so I think we're going to see dramatic gains in the Senate, and we're going to be holding on in the House, and it's going to be a long night probably before we get all these coming in, but things are really, I think, nationally looking great. I think you're going to see some surprise folks in greater Minnesota tomorrow morning,
yeah.
Especially.
Matt Dean, thanks for checking in with us. Congratulations. I was just looking at your race while all the precincts aren't in. It's looking really strong for you there. So let's get you back on soon when we can have a more longer conversation about where the Minnesota GOP, specifically in the House, goes from here. If we do get a strong GOP presence, if not a majority in the Senate, it puts us in a really good position for this last bit of Mark Dayton's term.
Well, we're gonna have our hands full with Mark Dayton not running for re-election, so we're gonna have our hands full either way, and we're up for the fight. But hopefully, we'll have some more hands in the battle. So, thanks for what you guys are doing. Hang in there; it's gonna be a long night. Take care.
Thank you so much. You're listening to Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. I am John Justice. That man is Drew. Sam is with us. We've got Mike and Brian. They're manning the Minnesota desk back at the CCNT studios. Taking your phone call, 651-989-5855. We do have with us
Keith Downey's been hanging out, being very patient. He's having a conversation right now. So we'll, oh, all right. I didn't want to interrupt you. I just was going
to
let people know you'd be coming on shortly.
Jason Lewis.
Yeah, it's just Jason Lewis.
No big deal.
We drove Jason Lewis away.
Oh,
why would we do that? Keith Downey, your thoughts so far?
Quite the night. You know, everyone questioned why Donald Trump decided to drop into Minnesota. I think the internal polling and their sense of things was right on. They were super strong out east, and it made sense for them to come here. So what an exciting night, and we're running strong in their congressional races and got a good chance in the House and the Senate. So far, really, really good night.
If you had to gauge your confidence level on the Senate right now, where would you put it?
50-50. You know, we lost Senator Hand's seat.
I'm really bummed about that.
Probably the strongest policy guy in the entire Senate, one of the nicest gentlemen you'd ever get to know, just a quality guy.
You talk about someone who was very effective in pumping the brakes on light rail. Senator Hand was one of the better ones.
Yeah, and they poured a ton of money in on that district, and it was just too much. So anyway, we're looking forward to the outstate returns that it looks like we're running pretty strong in. I haven't had a chance to take a look at the House side in any detail, but you know, I said it was 50-50 going into this night. I think it's still probably there.
It is. It has been a night, an unexpected evening, and I don't think it's so much that the optimism and the expectation and potential of what can take place on the national level, but the way that it's mapping out, I think it's coming off as rather surprising. You know, the places where the polls seem to be wrong are the places where they're really wrong, if that makes sense. And I think for me so far, and I think for a lot of us here, we're a little bit, you know, sitting back going, whoa, the places where the polls seem really confident, that's where they were the most wrong on their projections.
Well, the six states, if you look at it, Michigan, Ohio, New Hampshire, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Florida, you know, all tightened dramatically in the last few days even. You look at the makeup of those electorates, a lot of, you know, blue-collar type states that we're talking about. I mean, I don't want to say I'm not surprised, but you knew he had to win four out of those six, and so far he's getting really, really close.
All right, we're up against the break. You can hang out for a little bit. This is a short break. We'll get more with Keith Downey on the other side, look at some more Minnesota results with Mike and Brian back in our St. Louis Park studios, and we'll update you on some states that are out there. They're still saying Florida is too close to call.
How is that possible?
We'll take a look at that, plus a lot of other states on the other side. This is Justice and Drew live on election night. Hey, it's Drew from Justice and Drew, and if you missed any of the show, make sure to grab the podcast, available anytime at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com.
You are listening to election coverage with Justice and Drew on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
Congratulations to our adopted senator from Wisconsin, Ron Johnson. While we were on break, that race was called. He will be returning to the Senate.
Huge.
I mean, that's massive, guys.
Huge.
That's massive.
Huge.
Russ Feingold is a political machine. He's got a political machine behind him. And have Ron Johnson, because early on in that race, that was a gimme for Feingold. That wasn't even supposed to be close. It wasn't until the very end there that that Ron Johnson started surging and coming from behind, and he took down Feingold, man. That is massive. That's not the biggest news that we learned during the break, though.
Before we get to the Minnesota desk, guys, I know you have some information for us. Quick reminder, you're listening to Justice and Drew. I'm John Justice. That's Drew. Sam is with us. Landslide.
Landslide.
Mike and Brian back on the hashtag Landslide. Hashtag VouchFan. Mike and Brian back at the DZNT studios. We're going to be with you for as long as we need to as the results continue to roll in on this historic evening. Tomorrow morning, starting at 6 a.m., join us as we break it all down. We take your phone calls, your reaction. We can stay up all night together. We do have a bit of breaking news. We reported this via Drudge earlier. We can now tell you that the Associated Press has called Florida for Donald Trump.
Wow.
That's amazing.
So that is awesome.
The other thing to note is I've been keeping an eye on, for those that haven't, the New York, I've had several several friends of ours, including Andrew Langer, president of the Institute for Liberty, are our weekly guest, and he's like, hey, have you been keeping on top of the New York Times page? And I said, no, I haven't. So we went over there, and they have running meters going. As it stands right now, they have Donald Trump at 94% winning.
Wow.
The election this evening.
Wow. So much winning. It's just so much winning.
All he does is win.
It, guys, Mike and Brian, it's all the winning.
It's all the winning.
All the winning you can handle. So, guys, give us an update from the Minnesota desk, and I want to remind everybody, 651-989-5855 if you want to call in and get in on the conversation.
Well, at the risk of jinxing this, I think I have some good news coming out of the suburbs for Republicans.
Yeah.
The seat that was held by Terry Bonoff in the Senate is currently Paul Anderson is the candidate there. He's an amazing guy. He's exactly who we want in politics.
Yeah, and I was smart enough to lose to him in fantasy football this year.
If you look at the Secretary of State, he's currently losing by about 60 votes with one precinct out. But that precinct, if you go back and look at the last one, is strongly Republican, and the last Republican candidate carried by well over 100. If he can repeat basically the baseline Republican performance from Plymouth Ward 1 Precinct 3, he will win, and we will have a key pickup that will kind of offset the loss of David Hand, and that puts the Senate back in the conversation for a majority.
Well, and talking about the House, let's stay in Plymouth for a little bit. A lot of the most contested races just don't have enough precincts reporting, but one of them that does is District 44A, which is Sarah Anderson, which was certainly a targeted race by the Democrats. She is winning quite handily with 91%, and she's at about 53%, a little bit more than that. So we expect her to win, so that will not be a DFL pickup. But then switching to Greater Minnesota, one of the other one of the other areas on our list was Brian Daniels. Not Brian McDaniel, but Brian Daniels, who is in 24B.
He is not a college professor at Concordia.
He is not. But anyway, in 2014, Brian Daniels beat his 2016 opponent by only, it was 50.8%, and that was an Obama district. Right now, he is up with about almost just under 50% reporting. He's up 2-1.
And that's important, and I'm going to add to that, because that same Senate district is a swing district, the same kind of district that Matt was talking about, that the Republicans won in the House last time, but of course the Senate wasn't up. The Republican there, John Jasinski, who's the mayor of Faribault, is currently ahead by over 3,000 votes. And the only precincts that I don't see reporting are Faribault, where you just heard the report from Brian. The Republicans are doing exceptionally well. So you can almost, if I were in the business of calling it, I would definitely call it for new Senator-elect John Jasinski from Faribault.
I'm looking at results out of CD2, Jason Lewis. Still not a lot of precincts coming in, but Jason Lewis with a 10-point lead over Angie Craig.
Yeah, Dakota County is just not coming in. There's almost, for the House races, there's almost no precincts reported.
But still, that's an encouraging lead early on. Still not all outlets calling Florida for Trump quite yet. The AP has called it. Real Clear Politics has turned it red. And right now we're sitting at, with the states that have been called so far, Trump with 213 electoral votes to Clinton's 131.
What we're looking at right now is that with Florida going to Trump, if Clinton has any pathway. She absolutely has to win Michigan, Wisconsin, and Nevada. Right now, when you look at Wisconsin, it's 46, Clinton, Trump 49. When you look at Michigan, which has been holding this way for a long time, it's 49, Trump, 46, Clinton. We have yet to see how Nevada shakes out. So in two of the three that she has to pick up, she is currently down. And again, that Michigan one, I think, is the most telling because that one's been sitting there for quite a long time.
And we're almost out of time this hour. We're going to get a Fox News update here in about 1 minute. But with Ron Johnson, I just want to make one quick point. With Ron Johnson winning in Wisconsin, Minnesota so far, very early, Clinton has a very strong lead with the early return so far in Minnesota. Perhaps that Minnesota visit was geared towards Western Wisconsin more than we gave it credit for, more than we thought it was geared towards Minnesota. Maybe it was about getting that media coverage on all the Twin Cities television stations that carried over into Western Wisconsin, because right now Trump 49, Clinton 45 in Wisconsin, and Ron Johnson, like I said, winning that statewide race, which is absolutely huge. 651-989-5855, or use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter. You're listening to Justice and Drew.
They just called Florida.
Yeah, it was officially.
Okay. Fox News just called Florida. We are about out of time this hour. We will be back after a Fox News update and a quick commercial break.
Thanks for listening to KTLK AM Minneapolis. Don't miss Justice and Drew every weekday morning, 6 to 9 on AM 1130, 103.5 FM, and the iHeartRadio app.